from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back here on a real Football Friday with everything going on and everything getting ready to start up. Another preseason game tomorrow night, game number 2 for the Miami Dolphins. And joining us this morning, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Good, Joe. How are you, buddy?
Man, I'm hanging in there, Mike. Mike, we're going through this thing down here, and I don't want to sound old school because I'm not. And I have to start so people don't call me a grumpy old man when I talk about today's practices compared to the way they were in the 80s and in the 90s. But it just seems like everybody's trying to figure out how to get enough work in and at the same time make sure everybody's healthy for that opener. And we have days off down here with Mike, and for older guys, they get a rest day. Guys are banged up at all. They're down. It's just, Mike, everybody's just trying to figure it out. And then you got somebody in Kansas City named Andy Reid who's plays his starters more than anybody. What's your take?
Well, and look, this is year number 4 of the split between regular season and preseason games of 17-3. The league is still figuring out how to properly disseminate preseason reps. When do you play your starters? You know, we had the formula pretty much figured out when it was 4 games. Now we don't know. Well, here are the Chiefs playing their starters and not shying away from it, even with Hollywood Brown, starting receiver, out for 4 to 6 weeks
right,
with a sternoclavicular injury that required him to stay overnight in the hospital. They're still going to have Mahomes out there. They're still going to have the starters out there. They've got to get their guys ready. Other teams in the AFC who are trying to compete with the Chiefs are starting to figure that out. It's a copycat league. It's working for the Chiefs. And I think it would behoove the Dolphins to go along with that. The problem is, for Mike McDaniel, he doesn't have nearly the same equity that Andy Reid has. Andy Reid's not going to get criticized. He's not going to have the hot seat get any hotter on him if he loses a key starter in a preseason game, because he's won the last 2 Super Bowls. So it's easier for him. It's harder for a guy like McDaniel, who may or may not be a little bit kind of sort of on the hot seat. And if you play that starter, if you play those starters and you lose a guy for the season, you get criticized, you get questioned, you got to worry about what Stephen Ross thinks. So I think that needs to be set aside, and they need to realize the best way to get the team ready, the best way to ensure the team will stay ready and will be able to finish strong in December. That's what this is all about, or at least it should be about, making sure guys are ready to go when the season is at its most intense. Other teams are going to be ready. The Dolphins haven't answered the bell. And you start looking for what you can do differently maybe the preseason and training camp attitude needs to change. Even if it gets some guys injured, the guys who are healthy are going to be better equipped to go out there in those key late season games and have better outcomes than what we've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, it's an interesting one. It's a hot of everything going on down here. The hottest part of it is trying to figure out who's playing, how hurt are the guys that aren't playing right now, when will they be back, and it just seems to be like, hey, we're more worried about Jacksonville and week one at Hard Rock Stadium of the regular season. So we'll see how that goes. So Mike, I got to ask you, I don't know what you think. I'm not sold for the first time, and I know the Buffalo Bills are still the team to beat. I do understand it, and they have Josh Allen and everything else, but they lose Matt Milano, and he was hurt most of last year anyway, but he's injured again. He could be out for the year. Along with that group of receivers, and I don't know if Josh Allen makes all those receivers that much better or not, and I'm a big fan of the guy. What's your take on the Bills and how good they're going to be? If there's ever been a time they've been a little down in the last 5 years, man, it just feels like right now.
But look at what happened last year when they were down and out. They turned it around, and they made it all the way to the divisional round, and they were at home. They won the division. They had the Chiefs in a position where they maybe could have beaten them, and they didn't. The issue with the receivers, okay, Stephon Diggs is gone. Well, once they changed offensive coordinators last year from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady, Stephon Diggs was kind of MIA in that offense.
Yes.
So they're really not losing anything because Diggs wasn't doing much. Had a great start to the season, tailed off, and once Brady took over, Diggs was kind of a bystander. On the play at the end of the game against the Chiefs, right before they missed the field goal that would have tied it up, it was third down, and Allen threw to the end zone to Khalil Shakir, and it just didn't. He got hit as he was getting rid of the ball. Stephon Diggs was running wide open underneath for the first down. He didn't even throw it to him. So I don't know that swapping out a guy that was sucking up a lot of oxygen out of the room, a lot of attention, a lot of money. Gabe Davis, they let him go. He never really cashed in on the promise that we saw when he had four touchdown catches against the Chiefs in a divisional round game, that classic epic back-and-forth game. He never lived up to that moving forward. So now you've got a collection of guys, and Josh Allen can just throw to the guy who's open. That's the beauty of not having a true number one receiver. You don't have a guy that you feel compelled to watch a little bit longer before you move on to the next step in the progression. You don't have to force the ball to him when it looks like maybe he's covered. You can just throw to the guy who's open, and you don't have to worry about anybody coming back to the huddle, giving you the side eye or sighing, huffing and puffing, because he's the number one receiver and he expects 15 targets a game. This can be the Josh Allen show, and they expect it to be the Josh Allen show. So having a collection of receivers who are interchangeable allows it to be, because it's just about Allen doing his drop, making his reads, and throwing to the guy who's open without regard to how many times each guy gets the ball.
Yeah. The other side of that, and I'll leave this Bills thing alone here today in the AFCs, but Josh Allen took off and ran, it seemed like, a lot more when they went away from the passing and Stephon Diggs and all that stuff. He's just getting at that age. Boy, these running quarterbacks, and he's a physical runner. I mean, he is a unique runner to the NFL. I just wonder how long he can take. And listen, he's been a killer running the ball against the Dolphins too. But how many of those hits can you take before they finally catch up to you with the best tacklers in the world, you know?
Hey, it reminds me of the two Steves, Steve McNair and Steve Young. They were great runners when they were younger, and they morphed into pocket passers as they got older, and you have to develop those skills. Now, Allen has them, and what the Bills, I think, have done in recent years, they've consciously reduced the number of times that Allen runs because they understand at a very basic level, the more times you get hit, the more likely you are to get hurt. It's just you're rolling the dice, and every time you roll the dice, it can come up snake eyes. If snake eyes is bad, sometimes snake eyes is good, but I digress. So they see him unleash that strategically. Playoffs, for example, we tend to see him run more. Big games, getting into the playoffs on the line, we see him run more. So they've been conscious of it, and they want to use those skills more, but they don't want him to get hit,
right,
get hurt, and then they have to go with the backup. The more often you can line up your number one quarterback, especially after last year, look at all the quarterback injuries last year. If you've got the same guy wire to wire, you're in a much better position to win games than other teams. So that's what they're doing. And it's a very potent skill that he has that we didn't really know that he had until he got into the NFL, because it was all about arm strength and low completion percentage at Wyoming and all the reasons given for it that ended up being very valid, not great receivers, bad conditions, et cetera. He's a great passer. He can add that at times. They just need to be careful about it, because if you do it too much, you're right, you're going to get injured, and then it's whoever the backup quarterback is in Buffalo. I don't even know who the backup quarterback is in Buffalo. Is Trubisky's back. It's Mitch Trubisky
again.
Yeah,
it is. You're right. So, hey, Mike, this Brandon Ayuk thing, being an old 49er fan and watching to see, and this looks like the Steelers, a lot of people are saying Steeler deal is done, just let us know. And the 49ers are going, boy, do we want to let this guy go. My God, he's such a big part of a win-now football team. How do you think this thing ends up? And does somebody else jump back in the party here with a better offer potentially?
Well, Brandon Ayuk has set this up where he's got control over where he's going to go. He said no to the Browns. He said no to the Patriots. He wants to go to the Steelers. What helped the 49ers is that the Steelers' offer to Ayuk was low enough that I think they woke up from their fever dream and decided, if the Steelers are willing to pay this, why aren't we? And I feel like with the 49ers, their attitude toward Ayuk is, yes, he's a Ferrari, but we don't drive it very often, so we should get a discount. That's not how it works.
No.
If the guy's a proven receiver and he's shown he can be a number one, you pay him like a number one because somebody else will if you won't, and then it's up to you to figure out how to use him. And at one point I thought maybe they would just say, all right, we're going to accelerate our timetable here, and Ayuk is the number one, and we'll move on from Deebo Samuel. And there was one point during the draft that the Steelers and Samuel were linked together, but the Steelers weren't offering enough to get the deal done. You know, the Steelers have a very calm, resolute approach. This is what we're willing to pay. This is what we're willing to offer. If you do the deal, great. If you don't, that's fine too. But I think the fact that it hasn't happened yet and the fact that it keeps lingering, it tells me at the appropriate time, a deal will be done between Ayuk and the 49ers, and it's all about getting the deal done at the practical deadline. Deadlines are important in negotiations because you figure out where the deadline is, and then right before the deadline, you move to your bottom line position. If you move to your bottom line position too early, when the deadline arrives, you get squeezed off of it. So the 49ers, if they go to their bottom line now, when we get ready for week one, you know, right before the start of the practice week for week one, that's probably the deadline. They'll end up having to pay more to get it done. If Ayuk goes to his bottom line now, he'll end up having to take less later. I think the way this is going, especially given as much time has passed with the Steelers deal not being done, they're waiting for another probably 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks from today. Boom, that's when you get it done. You know, they get a break after the last preseason game. When they regroup and regather and get ready for week one, that's probably the deadline. My guess would be right now that's when a deal with Ayuk and the 49ers will get done.
Wow. Well, it's going to be a fun one to watch because the 49ers are a talented team if they get their left tackle and that wide receiver back. So we've had a little something going on down here with a backup quarterback, and Dave Hyde came out with the Ryan Tannehill. We need to really check on seeing if we can get Ryan Tannehill from Fort Lauderdale to drive back down here and join the Dolphins. What are your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill coming back here? Or he'll be back in the league, right, if he wants to play? He's still good enough?
Joe Flacco's phone didn't ring until late November last year, and he was the comeback player of the year. So Tannehill would be wise to wait for a chance to play, not a chance to go be number two, but at some point the phone's going to ring and it's going to be from a team that needs Tannehill not to be the understudy, but to come in and take over. So if last year trickles into this year, last year, an unprecedented number of quarterback injuries. And there were in the 60s, I think, by the time it was all said and done, different starting quarterbacks from week one to week 18.
Wow. Yeah.
So I think Tannehill's best play is to wait. Because once you take a job with a team, you're stuck until the opportunity arises internally. If you stay out of the league, you wait until the opportunity comes to you. And there's a chance the phone never rings, but I'd rather do that than get myself stuck on a depth chart where I might never make it onto the field again. So I get the idea that maybe he gives better security than Skylar Thompson and Mike White. But for Tannehill, I'd say just sit tight and wait. Let's see what happens. You can always join a team as a number two later, but maybe you'll get lucky and you'll be number one, and he'll be two-time comeback player of the year, like former Dolphin and Jet Chad Pennington.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What a great decision going to Tennessee to get his career going for a second time. So this, I thought your PFT Life stuff was great with Sims, with Harbaugh and Colin Kaepernick. I thought it was really good, and that thing kind of fizzled. I thought for sure Harbaugh's been a big Kaepernick fan and coached him with the 49ers, that they're going to get a coaching job worked out, that Kaepernick was going to go, okay, I guess it's time. What's your read on where Colin Kaepernick goes from here as he's starting to realize, man, it's been a while and nobody's picked him up?
Well, this possibility of Kaepernick joining Harbaugh as a coach isn't new. 2 years ago, when he thought he was being hired by the Vikings, it was raised during his meetings with the Wilfs that he would consider bringing Colin Kaepernick, presumably as an assistant quarterbacks coach, something low-level to get him started. And you have to be willing to take a low-level, low-pay, bust-your-ass job to break into the coaching industry. And Colin Kaepernick hasn't been willing to do that. And I think it was telling that the day after we saw quotes emerge from Kaepernick that he still wants to play in the NFL, that Harbaugh addressed it and said, I'm interested in making him a member of the coaching staff, which is a roundabout way of saying, I'm not interested in him as a player anymore. He's 37. If anybody was going to make him a player again, it would have been Jim Harbaugh. He's been his biggest supporter since the collusion against Kaepernick started. And whether you like him, whether you hate him, the NFL did indeed collude against him to cater to the fans that hated him. They decided collectively, and the collusion case was settled. The NFL aren't going to settle anything if they don't think they're responsible. They settled that case that came from this notion that the league conspired to keep him out. At this point, the question is, does he want back in? And Harbaugh has since said that Kaepernick is not going to be coaching with the team this year. You know, again, it's kind of like calling his bluff. Hey, do you want to come be a backup? No. Hey, do you want to come be a low-level member of the coaching staff? No. Harbaugh would give him a chance if he wanted one, but he's got to ask himself, does he really want to join the NFL again in that capacity, where it's going to be a lot of work, it's not going to be much pay, it's not going to be much notoriety, and it may be something he just doesn't want to do.
Hey, before I let you go, not to talk about anybody else's business, were you surprised to see Robert Griffin and Samantha Ponder, kind of a big part of their NFL shows, they let him go right before start of the season? Did that seem, I know they got budget cuts and stuff, just a weird one to me.
Well, it was surprising. The timing is odd, and for having to come out of the blue without warning so close to the start of the season necessarily. I mean, these are two biggest stories of the day from a traffic standpoint. And the reporting from Andrew Marchand of The Athletic was that these were financial moves, and Disney is getting toward the end of its fiscal year, and this is the time it does stuff like this. I don't understand, and I'm no expert in finance. If you've got Robert Griffin under contract for two more years at seven figures and you got to pay him anyway, how does the financial motive cause you to say we're going to pay him to not work instead of pay him to work? I feel like that gets thrown around just because it saves face for the people involved, and maybe there's something more there, and maybe there's something else we don't know about, and they're just packaging it as financial reasons. I'd love to know the whole story as to both of them, because they already dumped him off a Monday NFL countdown and then kept him. They could have fired him then. It's not like he was doing a lot of work for ESPN from then until now. So the whole thing's weird. But, again, if I understood more about how accounting works, I'd be able to say, well, there is some net benefit to paying out the money for tax purposes or whatever. Maybe that's true, but it just feels like there's more to the story.
Yeah, crazy. Hey, Mike, thank you as always, man. Can't wait for this preseason to get over and start talking about these games a little bit. Thank you.
You and me both, brother. Thanks.
All right. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning. Hey,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.